Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Our chapel speaker today is Joseph Rashid, senior pastor of Crossroads Covenant Church in DeSoto, Texas. Joseph was raised in Oakland, California, graduated with a BA degree from Patton University there. He relocated to Dallas, Texas to serve with Dr. Tony Evans at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship as associate pastor of worship and to attend Dallas Theological Seminary, graduating with a THM in 2006. In 2005, he planted Crossroads Covenant Church in DeSoto, where he continues as the lead pastor. Joseph is a good communicator and gifted musician. We thank God for him and the opportunity to have him come and minister in our chapel today. He enjoys living life with his wife, Rochelle, and spending time with his six children and two grandchildren. Please join with me in welcoming Joseph Rashid as our speaker today.
My heart was touched as I listened to the sounds of those melodious voices, that gospel ensemble, and they set our heart right for the mood that we are now experiencing, the presence of the Lord. And so for what God has done through the voices, how about we all just take the opportunity just to relax a bit and give God a great big hand of praise, everyone here, for what he is doing. That would be good if you were clapping for me, but let's give God a great big hand of praise all over the room. Glory to his name. I give honor to God for the privilege to speak at a place that has made such an investment in my life. Our chancellor, Dr. Swindoll, and our president, Dr. Bailey, and all of these great professors who made many days and nights of investments, prayers, lessons, words of wisdom and encouragement, and they will never, ever be forgotten. I appreciate each and every one. For Dr. Pentecost, who could meet me over in the cafeteria and take my lunch better than anyone you ever saw. For all of the prayers, for the lessons that as I began in ministry, Dr. Toussaint saying, don't go because you're going to get paid. Go because you're a servant of the Lord. For those who I do not see, Dr. Reed, Dr. Hendricks, Dr. Lawrence, all of those men made a great investment in my life. And it is a privilege to stand before you, my brothers and sisters, today. I would like for you to also join me in appreciating people who work behind the scenes. I have never had the opportunity to preach at the seminary, but I have had the opportunity to lead chapels in praise. And behind the scenes, for things that we hear and maybe things that we see, has always been Jim Hoover and his crew, these men in the booth and those downstairs. So would you join me just for a moment to appreciate those in front and behind the scenes who make investments in our lives in so many different ways? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, in case you haven't noticed, I am a black man from America. And if we're going to have service, it's all right to say amen. Amen. And if you feel like it, you can say praise the Lord. I know that many papers that I gave to my professors and sometimes the hours that maybe I would walk into class, questions that I came up with, they learned the gift of speaking in tongues. But we don't want you to exercise that gift today. I'm going to be reading from this passage of scripture in Acts chapter 8. Go with me there. I don't say turn anymore because people use all this technology. And one of these days I'll be able to buy some, but turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to read a wonderful story to us. Chaplain Bill, when he invited me to come, what a privilege it was to hear that phone call. Chaplain Bill many days met me where my head was hung low, and he had these words that he would say to me, and it was, I love you. And many times on the seminary, it means something when you can join yourself to one person and share with them the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. If you have the scripture, I'm going to ask in my tradition if you would stand while I read it aloud. I'm going to be reading in the book of Acts, and I'm going to start at the 26th verse of chapter 8. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now, just for a few moments, I'd like to speak to you, all of us who are here, about what I sense the Lord is saying to us in this passage, a brief topic designed for impact. Designed for impact. Would you bow your heads as I pray? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to enter into worship. We have heard the melodious voices, and now let us hear your voice. As you speak to us through your word, be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may take your seats. Designed for impact. Designed for impact. The BMW makes a beautiful automobile, and they call it the ultimate driving machine. It is engineered inside and out. Inside for your pleasure and comfort, inside and outside, for the ability to do what no other car can do. It is designed for one driver. You need to know that God has worked you inside and out. You are engineered and manufactured by God, designed for impact, for the ultimate experience of life. You are designed for impact. Why am I saying this? Because the first thing we need to understand is many of us are attending school here, and we hope to graduate, and we hope to go on into ministry and to do great things for the Lord, but you need to know that you won't enter into a job. You're going to go into a divine appointment, a place that God will put you in that might be uncomfortable, but it's for his glory, and you have been designed for impact. Can you say amen? As we talk about being designed, what do I mean? I mean that when the prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 1, verse 5, that even in the womb I formed you, before I placed you there, I knit you together. I know your emotions. I know your thinking processes. I know your sensitivities. I understand what you're all about. You're not weird. You're my design. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1, it says that God from the womb called me. And he named me. He gave you an identity. He gave you character and purpose. And that purpose is that you would be impacting lives for him. He knew all about you. You were designed. You're not just fearlessly or fearfully and wonderfully made. You are designed exactly for the impact that God wants you to have. When I say impact, I mean that you are to influence someone, to motivate someone to the greatness of God, positively, not negatively. So in your design, You must realize that what God is going to do through you and in you is all about his purpose and plan. It does not mean that you have any plan in it. What are you going to do and how will you impact people? Well, it's very simple, three ways. The first way is by touching others. The second way is by teaching others. And the last is by telling others. You are designed for impact. You are designed to touch others, to teach others, and to tell others. In our story that I just read in our hearing, Philip was whisked away by the Spirit to a desert road. A desert road, an unpopulated place. Desert roads are not very attractive. They don't have great sights. Imagine Philip's shock after leading the citywide revival in Samaria. Imagine his shock after hundreds of thousands of people are coming to Christ and he's whisked away from all of the greatness and the fame to a desert road. And who does he meet there but a eunuch? One individual, a eunuch. A eunuch is a person who is not celibate. A eunuch is a person who is not impotent. A eunuch is a person who, by a decision of the past, will not be able to produce in the future. Whisk away. Yet the Lord had a purpose with the eunuch. Philip could have said, well, I'll wash my hands because in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1, it says, anyone who is a eunuch has no place in the assembly of God. But instead, he realized, obviously, God has placed me in this desert position for a reason, to touch someone. Who has God placed you in their life on the desert road? What young man, what young woman, what person based on their skin color, their economic condition, maybe they're a single parent family. Who has God put you in their life? Where has God removed you from to place you on the desert road that you might impact somebody and motivate them for the greatness of God? You are designed for impact. So don't resist. Take the advantage of that desert road and touch someone's life. Maybe they're at Starbucks. Maybe they're your bank teller. Maybe they're in the supermarket where you're shopping. But they're the one that God wants you to reach. And you have been designed to touch them exactly. How will you touch them? By teaching them. Notice that Philip says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The key is not can you read, but do you understand? Do you understand what you're reading? Anyone can take G-O-D and make God. But do you understand the fullness of God? Do you understand the wonderful love of God, the compassion, the saving power of God? And that's why you have been designed to let someone know that, yes, God loves me, but he's greater than just G-O-D. You've been designed for impact. Who around you is crying out, I need to understand the truths of Scripture? People are not impressed because we know how to parse verbs. People are not impressed because we can say the fancy words. We can get up and talk about soteriology and ecclesiology, and people are going, wow, you must be bad. They're not impressed by that. What they want is the opportunity for you to take the facts and mix it with their faith so that they know that God will stop them when they get ready to take another hit off of that crack pipe. So that they know that they don't have to run to another adulterous relationship. So that they know that they can stand with their family and be the father and the husband, be the wife in the home, be the child that God wants them to be. You have been designed to teach the Word of God, the truths of Scripture, so that someone's life is impacted for God's glory. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. The disciples, they walked with Jesus. They walked everywhere with Jesus. They saw him as he raised the dead. They witnessed it as he fed the 5,000. They saw him as he walked into even the mother-in-law's house and healed her of the fever. But when it came time to ask, here was their question. Lord, teach us how to pray. How many young men, how many young women, they know that God is real, they believe that He is real, but until you're ready to teach them the power and the person and the purpose of who God is, they're just going to be lost. God has designed you uniquely that you might teach them not just with words, but if possible, that you would live it as well. You've been designed to touch others. You've been designed to teach others. But most of all, you've been designed to tell others. What do you tell them? In this passage that we were reading, the eunuch asked a question. And his question was very good. His question was, who is this man talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? I know how to read, but I'm unable to understand it. I'm powerless. That's what the Greek word means, Dr. Fanning. I'm powerless. I'm unable. And when people come to you, whose story will you share? Will you share your story or will you share his story? Tell others about Jesus. See, God always will provide an opportunity for you to teach and preach the gospel, but you must be ready by that desert road. Many times we think that the fame and the greatness of the megachurch or the platforms or all of these great stages of ministry are where we're supposed to perform, but God wants you to know that it's by the desert road, the impacting of one. That's where He will shine the brightest, and that's the greatest impact that you will ever make, is with the one. Telling the one about Jesus. It's good to be able to tell about the program. It's good to be able to tell about all of the ministries that are going on. It's good to be able to brag on how many people you had last week. How many did you have last week, Doc? But if you can't tell them about Jesus, the righteous Son of God, if you can't tell them about the amazing love of Jesus, if you can't tell them about how He walked dusty streets in Jerusalem, if you can't tell them that He marched up a hill called Calvary, that He stretched Himself wide, that He hung His head and died, but on the third day He got up with all power in His hands, you need to tell people about Jesus. That's what you have been designed to do. And so in this great story, we have this eunuch who is sitting in a chariot. He learns about Jesus and his life is changed. The whole life of the eunuch is changed because God does not determine the future based on the past. God has something for the individual whose life He has brought your way. Come alongside of them, walk with them, enter into their world, and with joy be faithful on the desert road that God has placed you. You will leave these hallowed halls one day. You will leave and you will go out. And it would be great to be assistant vice executive for all of these fantastic positions. But just be ready, for the Spirit of the Lord might whisk you away and place you on the desert road. And there you will touch others with the love of God, the compassion of His grace. There you will teach others the wonderful news of Jesus, the truths of scriptures. And there you will tell others about His saving grace and His soon second coming. Before I leave, I need to tell you, it's very important that you impact the one. I know you say, if I'm designed for all this greatness, why am I only touching one, huh? I mean, if I'm supposed to do these great things, why am I supposed to touch just one? What about the hundreds and the thousands and even the millions? Don't you want me to go out and really impact the world? Just change it. Well, what happens when you touch that one? What happens? Here's the concluding story of the eunuch. The eunuch just happened to be the treasurer for Queen Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, the dark-skinned people, where they had learned about God in a sense, but not the fullness of God. And here he is, after hearing the truth of Jesus and being baptized, he goes back to his country. And the first thing that he does is he tells the queen. He says, "Hey, queen, I got some news for you. You remember that guy named Solomon who was with your great-great-grandmother, Sheba, and they had a son named Menelik the First? Well, he brought to us a sense of who God was. But now I have in fulfillment who Jesus really is." And the queen, as she listened, the nation changed. And as the nation began to hear who Jesus was, something happened to that one, that eunuch, the one whose past had determined his future, the one who could not produce, the one who was sat down and said, "You will never, nothing good will ever come out of you because of your past." And that eunuch did something tremendous. That eunuch lost his job. He was no longer the treasurer, but he entered into a ministry. And when he entered into his divine call, he began to go all over the empire, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ and making a change in a nation that stood all of the attacks against Christianity. And it made a difference in Africa then, and it still does today. Be faithful, because you are designed for impact, to touch the one. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, as we have come, we thank you for your great word. I thank you for each of these men and women who have assembled today. And I pray, God, that you will speak to all of our hearts, our staff and our professors, and remind them, Lord, in the tough times, that the impact is far-reaching. The investment into one is what you desire. We thank you that you have created us, our mind and our body, to give you praise. Remind us day by day that we are designed for impact. And Lord, for those of us who might have had the impression that ministry equals money, we pray that you will forgive us and allow us to see the greater vision from you, and that in our ministry to one, you will receive greater glory. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.